Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, wainihao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how? Go vegan! From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Killitary Industrial Corporation in the post-constitutional one-party bribocratic corruptocracy of the United States of Listeria, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the most important radio program ever.
Oh, new one. I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
We are here to save the world, to save you and your children, and the animals. And, for those who always say to me, oh, you care more about animals than people, I would say, well, when you do great things for animals, great things happen for people, too. Like, well, if you don't eat them, you look at all the diseases you may avoid. Heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, osteoporosis, obesity. Plus, global warming ends when we create a vegan world, and not until then. So please do your part. I know Al Gore never mentioned that, and that's why he won the No Tell Please Prize. And only on Go Vegan Radio do you get the real poop. And animal poop from animal agriculture accounts for about 65% of human responsible nitrous oxide, over 200 times more dangerous than carbon in the greenhouse gas equation. And it's cow burps and farts contributing the methane to global warming, over 20 times more dangerous than carbon in the greenhouse gas equation. And then you have carbon. And according to a study from the University of Chicago, you decrease carbon emissions more by going vegan than by driving a Prius. So do both. Or if you want to save the money on the Prius, go vegan. Huh? And maybe you can do the whole world a favor this year with make that your holiday gift to the world. Go vegan. No wasteful gift wrapping necessary. If you truly want to go green, then you go vegan. You've got to change your evil ways, baby, so you might as well do it now and get rid of that extremist diet of death and embrace life. Go vegan. It would be your gift to the world and your gift to the animals and, so... Please do that. But don't give animals as a gift as the holiday season approaches. It's not a good idea. You really should think about giving animals before you do it, and then think twice, and then think thrice, because families have to be ready for a new arrival, a new family member. It's a lifetime commitment. So don't surprise anybody with a gift of an animal. Will the people have the time and the patience to exercise the animal and be able to afford the toys, the grooming supplies, the leashes, the harnesses, the veterinary care, all of that comes into consideration. If a family decides to adopt an animal, every member of the family should go to the local animal shelter together to choose. And you're making a lifetime commitment. So please remember that and spay and neuter animals who do become your new family members. Small children may not be ready for animals in the house. They may unintentionally harm animals, even breaking their fragile bones or causing other fatal injuries. So remember that, too. There are often unhappy endings when animals are given as gifts. So please keep that in mind. Don't give an animal as a gift. Make sure that others know that too. That's your feeling. Okay, go shopping for something else. Okay, but not Procter & Gamble products. Okay, Procter & Gamble was the number one advertiser in all of radio last year, spending over $2.5 billion. And, yes, sadly this year, Mr. Whipple died. You remember him from Please Don't Squeeze, the Charmin commercials. And Charmin is a Procter & Gamble product. And I would ask you not to touch the Charmin or any other Procter & Gamble products either, because Procter & Gamble tests on animals, experiments on animals, and unnecessarily. It's not required by law. And please... don't squeeze the Charmin, or go to the Procter & Gamble website. They make just about every product on the supermarket shelf, and the time is now to boycott such products. Only buy cruelty free, not cruelty full Procter & Gamble. Okay, and I guess Procter & Gamble could be considered an animal enterprise, huh? Was my admonition a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act? Was that just a federal crime when I asked you not to buy Procter & Gamble products? I hope not. Also recently, Evel Knievel passed on, and he could handle everything apparently, but the meat and dairy, because it was diabetes that got Evel Knievel. And all of the medical information coming out today seems to be that diabetes can be reversed within just a couple of months by moving to a vegan diet. And you can get information on that at PCRM.org or treeoflife.nu, the work of Dr. Gabriel Cousins there. So you want to be informed about improving your health. Going vegan is the thing to do. Don't take your chances like Evel Knievel. He just took too many chances. The meat and dairy were much, much more deadly than jumping over, the Grand Canyon full of buses or whatever he jumped over, right? So, and avoid the Procter & Gamble. And, all this animal testing on commercial products, it kind of makes me feel like I'm on Mars sometimes. And, Mars. I think Mars is on Mars now, actually. Mars, the candy bars, the people who make the candy bars. Now, Mars is conducting animal experiments. I thought I heard it all last year. We talked about fruit juice vivisectors, and it just seemed so absurd. And Mars is currently funding experiments on rats at the University of California, San Francisco, to determine the effect of chocolate ingredients on the animal's blood vessels, even though the experimenter admits that studies have already been done using humans. Experimenters force-feed the rats by shoving plastic tubes down their throats and then cut open the rat's legs to expose an artery, which is clamped shut to block blood flow. And then after the experiment, the animals are killed. And I have some friends who have rescued rats, and they're so adorable and loving and cuddly. And Mars is funding a deadly experiment on mice, published in 2007 in the issue of the Journal of Neuroscience, in which mice were fed flavanols, phytochemicals that are found in chocolate, and forced to swim in a pool of water mixed with white paint to hide a submerged platform, which the mice had to find in order to avoid drowning. If they found the platform, they would still be killed later and dissected. Who are the mad scientists who... They're not even scientists. Who thinks up this stuff? This is quite amazing. One experiment supported by Mars and conducted by the current Mars Incorporated, rats were fed cocoa and anesthetized with carbon dioxide so that blood could be collected by a needle injected directly into the heart. Ridiculous. It's just really, it's pretty much beyond belief, don't you think? Experimenting with chocolate on mice and rats when people, are craving the chocolate themselves. And it's really, really pretty amazing. So where did I put that? I had the phone number here. Wait.
In order for you
to complain, right? You want to call Mars. You want to call 800-627-7852. 800-627-7852. This is professional radio here. We're on a major network. It's Air America. Would you believe it? It's true. And it costs a lot of money, so I need you to make a tax-deductible donation to support us. You can do so online at GoVeganRadio.com. KPFK.com. And you see, I'm pressuring KPFK. I want to have an animal rights show on KPFK in Los Angeles. Now there's an opening for general manager there. I think I'm going to apply for that job. Oh, there's just so much going on. So, you know, we'll be talking about that. I have Michael Barenzweig coming up on today's program. He, too, is a student of vegetarianism. He actually had a show on the Pacifica outlet in New York, and we'll be talking to Michael a little bit later on in the program. And again, I ask that you please make a tax-deductible donation. This is the most important program in radio. This is the greatest breakthrough for animals in the media. A major radio network regularly scheduling a vegan animal liberation program. So go to goveganradio.com and make your donation, and thanks for listening.
No meat for me. My tummy isn't a graveyard. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And it's the planet's first network vegan radio show. I'm Bob Linden, your animal liberation media infiltrator, or meatia, controlled by the meat industry generally, so you don't get the truth. If you are visiting family this holiday season and you just can't take it that there's a dead bird on the table or a dead pig, you want to get away from the body parts, check out happycow.net. Wherever you are in the world, there is a vegan restaurant or natural foods market near you, and Happy Cow has them all. Wherever you are in the world, yes, happycow.net. A few weeks ago, we talked about the non-lethal management of crows in central Pennsylvania. We forgot to mention the website. It was lancastercrows.org, lancastercrows.org. And once again, I ask that you please consider making a donation to this radio program. If everybody would just donate $10, if that's your commitment and that's all you can do, please do so. And you could do $10,000. That would help a little more. But if everybody were to do $10, and you know, hundreds of thousands of listeners would just do $10, that would really cover our expenses. And you can donate online at goveganradio.com. This from CBS in New York. The Queens councilman Tony, and I apologize for not knowing his pronunciation of his last name, Avella. He would include lessons on animal rights in the New York City public schools curriculum. The council member proposed a resolution to force the Board of Education to comply with state law requiring schools to teach about animal rights, the New York Sun reported on Monday, and the city council will debate the proposal. Quoting the councilman, the way we treat animals, our fellow neighbors, this is all part of being a member of today's modern society. It's a benefit to the community and to the city to understand each other's needs, and in this case, those of animals, end quote. Ooh, what a good council member we have in Queens, where I graduated from college, Queens College. And also, the council member called for a ban on horse-drawn carriages in the city. We had that subject matter on some weeks back on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Communique from, well, this is from the North American Animal Liberation Press Office, the headline, Activists to Los Angeles Mayor, Replace Ed Boakes and Stop the Killing. Deputy Mayor, Mayor's sister, both visited by activists intent on helping city's companion animals. The press release says in two anonymous communiques received by the North American Animal Liberation Press Office, Los Angeles activists have apparently taken the struggle against the killing of healthy companion animals up a notch. One of the communiques read in part, on the night of Monday, November the 12th, we hit the house of Deborah VR. If the name sounds familiar, it's because she's the sister of the mayor of Los Angeles, California. We spent the last couple months doing some recon at the Department of Los Angeles Animal Shelters. We even saw places like the rooms they bump off animals. What haunted us most were the wide eyes with the most terrified expressions we ever saw. The Stop the Killing website has a video that doesn't show the half of it. That ends the quote there. And Pamela Inferden, an activist with Animal Defense LA, explained, quote, two previous general managers of the Los Angeles Department of Animal Services have either retired or been removed, only to see Mayor Villaraigosa appoint Ed Boakes, a man who was asked to leave as general manager of the animal shelter system in Maricopa County, Arizona, and whose contract as executive director of New York City's Animal Care and Control was not renewed by unanimous vote of the five New York City animal commissioners. In October 2005, Villaraigosa promised to hire No-Kill Solutions to evaluate LAAS search for a competent general manager and make the necessary changes to save tens of thousands of lives each year. Instead, Villaraigosa appointed Ed Boakes as general manager, allegedly because of a large campaign contribution. So the conflict goes on regarding Ed Boakes, and Nathan Winograd will be speaking in Los Angeles, actually, in a for-credit legal course, the legal landscape for building a no-kill community and ending the killing of savable animals in U.S. shelters. And this will take place on January 15th. And Nathan Winograd will be speaking, the director of the National No-Kill Advocacy Center. He's a graduate of Stanford Law, and he was director of operations for the San Francisco SPCA and executive director of the Tompkins County SPCA, two of the most successful shelters in the nation. And he's spoken nationally and internationally on these issues, no-kill shelters. So that's happening, as I say, on January 15th. And that will be taking place at the LACBA Conference Center, the LACBA Conference Center, 281 South Figueroa, 281 South Figueroa in Los Angeles. And registration is 5:30 p.m. and the program is at 6 p.m. Phone number to call, 213-896-6560, 213-896-6560. Michael Vick sentenced to 23 months in prison for dogfighting activities. And also the Michael Vicks of the air, you know, you should ask Congress to ban aerial gunning of wolves. It's the canine slaughtering season in Alaska, and that's how they're controlled, by shooting from aircraft. Well, would you like to stop the massacre? Then you want to ask your Congress member to pass H.R. 3663, the Protect America's Wildlife Act, or PAW Act, introduced by Representative George Miller, Democrat of California. Please do so. Michael Berenzweig coming up next on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
McDonald's, yuck. I'm a vegan because meat hurts animals.
And this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And if you're in the Hollywood area, if you're in traffic, stuck on the 101, just get off at Hollywood Boulevard. Because right there, Hollywood Boulevard and Bronson, you will find truly a wonderful vegan restaurant, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard, the website trulyvegan.net. The sushi is phenomenal at Truly. Also, there's the dish called Glee. If you know somebody who can go vegan except for saying, I'll never give up fried chicken, take that person to Truly for the Glee. And it is gleeful because there's no suffering on the menu. It's a totally vegan menu at Truly, a wonderful restaurant, and open breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and pancakes and chicken, wonderful dish on the menu. And I think you will enjoy Truly. Again, the website, trulyvegan.net. So I'm Bob Linden. I once again must ask that you donate to support this program. This is the big breakthrough for animals in the media, a major network program on behalf of animals. And please make your donation online at goveganradio.com, or you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. It has never happened before. An animal liberation media infiltrator taking over a major network like this. And then today, I will have another animal liberation media infiltrator, Michael Berenzweig, who is a vegan animal rights media activist. He's in New York City, normally a caregiver and rehabilitator for wild birds in need in New York, in Queens in particular. And he's been involved with, you could say he's been a producer on this show, sometimes arranging for some of the wonderful guests that I have. He got Noah Moore on to talk about global warming on Coast to Coast, that highly rated, popular overnight program. And Michael, you debated Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Air America. Is that correct?
That is true, Bob. It was quite an experience. He was quite resistant at first, but when I brought up the Earth Save International Global Warming Report that you just cited, that Noah Moore goes around lecturing about, and citing the methane gases and nitrous oxide, he conceded. And there was a space there when that little concession was made, so I took advantage by including the China study.
Yes.
Hopping from planetary health to personal human health. And he was quite concessional about that as well, saying it was the most comprehensive epidemiological study ever done.
Wow.
So it went quite well.
Excellent. So that's on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s environmental program, and you won the debate that going vegan is the environmental choice that we have to make.
Well, actually, veganism won. I didn't look at it as a personal thing, but, you know, we have the material, we have the proof, you know, the research.
Right,
so
right.
Veganism did win. That was Ring of Fire, right?
Right, on Ring of Fire. And you've been involved on the on WBAI in New York, the Pacifica station. You've been involved with the program Roar, which is an animal rights program there. And I'm putting a lot of pressure, as I have been over the years, on KPFK in Los Angeles, which is totally resistant to animal rights, vegan programming, as KPFA is in Northern California. But now there's an opening for general manager at KPFK. I think I'm going to send my resume over there.
I remember you telling me that, Bob. Well, unfortunately, the progressive community, people who dub themselves as progressive, are out to a bad lunch when it comes to comprehensively understanding what is progressive. For example, on broadcasts on BAI, I've heard Leo Tolstoy touted as a great revolutionary activist, Percy Bysshe Shelley, likewise, and none of these progressives know that both of them were staunch, adamant vegans and considered it an intrinsic part of their political activity.
Well, didn't Tolstoy say, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields?
Without a doubt, but not only that, in the early stages of his life, when he wrote War and Peace, even though he had a social conscience, he was pretty much of a sybaritic kind of debaucherer who went around eating the most exotic foods. And he, at the age of 57, he came to the United States to debate a vegetarian, he being a protagonist from meat eating. And the vegetarian won. He converted over to veganism, and when he returned to Russia, he lived the life of a true revolutionary. He gave up all his wealth. Count Leo Tolstoy, one of the richest men in Russia, went to live with the serfs and lived the life of a true revolutionary. Most people don't know this.
Right.
Progressives as well.
Right. Well, progressives should know in this day and age, one of the most highly respected people is Denis Kucinich. Well, he's vegan. And Cesar Chavez, he was a staunch vegan.
Yes.
Right. And you like to point out others in history, too. You like to point out that Einstein was...
Oh, without a doubt. The man of the century, according to Time magazine, the greatest scientist in human history. Literally said the way to preserve life to sustain life on planet Earth was for people to become vegetarian.
And, and he said all life. So that
yes, to sustain life, right? Yes, mm-hmm. to sustain life on planet Earth. As well, he felt that it would change human temperament for the better. In the same vein that Albert Schweitzer, the famous quote from Albert Schweitzer, "Until man extends his circle of compassion to all living beings, he himself will not know peace."
You know, it seems like the great thinkers of the ages, the great thinkers, the artists, the scientists, so many of them really were vegan.
Plato, Socrates, Da Vinci, Tolstoy, the great religious leaders, Christ, the Buddha, Moses, Lao Tzu, all of them were vegan proponents and vegan activists.
Christ, the Buddha, Moses. Wait a second there. That was that's a handful, huh? Christ, the Buddha, Moses, all
yes.
vegan, huh?
Yes, all vegan. And maybe the greatest of them all, Lao Tzu or Lao Tzu, right. So we cover the secular, we cover the religious, there are no boundaries.
Unbelievable.
The greatest in the scientific world, literary world, artistic world.
Why do you think they all come to the conclusion that they shouldn't be consuming animals?
I guess because they are studious people who really have a concern over the ramifications of life, and because they do a lot of research in various fields, sundry fields, one can't help but come to this conclusion.
Right. If you really are a thinking person, and as you say, it's, the brilliant Tolstoy loses the debate, and the brilliant Robert F. Kennedy loses the debate because vegan always wins the debate.
because we're herbivores, you know, and sooner or later, and hopefully, more than hopefully sooner, we will realize that before we destroy ourselves and the planet, which we're on the road to doing right now.
People say we're omnivores. I tell them they're herbivores. They say they're omnivores.
Well, Bob, I remember quite an excellent anthropologist on your program a while back, a Harvard anthropologist, who was saying that archaeological findings in recent years are pointing to the fact that the hunter-gatherer claims that have existed for a number of decades or even centuries are actually a myth. And anthropologists are coming around to realizing that we developed as herbivores. And physiologically, biochemically, it pans out. Physiologically, we're constructed like herbivores. Biochemically, we're constructed like herbivores. So those archaeological findings go right along with the actualities of our physiologies and our biochemistry.
Well, it's... we win every argument, and it's, you know, and as you said, it's personal health and it's planetary health, and of course, even we leave the animals out of that equation. There's so much suffering and so much unnecessary killing because they're really dying to cause the greatest diseases known to humankind.
Well, Bob, wouldn't you say personal health includes morality and humanity and humaneness?
It should.
It certainly does. It certainly should. So our treatment of animals is totally encompassed within our personal health, within the example we set for our children and future generations. You
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah. We are coming up on a break, so I'd like you to stay with us through the break, if you can, Michael. I would greatly
right.
appreciate that. And I would like to get into, well, we like to look at the derivation of words, and you know, we have
That's
a whole field.
Topic.
Yeah.
Another topic that where veganism bears out.
Ah, interesting. Okay, well, we'll be coming up on that on Go Vegan with Bob Linden coming up momentarily. And I must once again ask on behalf of the animals who pay with their lives, please pay for them so that they have a voice in the media. And you make a tax-deductible donation at goveganradio.com. And And that's the way we do it here. We have to pay for the time. Free speech is expensive, and it's coming out to close to $200,000 for the year in expenses that we've taken on because it's so important that this information get out there. But we need your help and support in making it happen. So it's tax deductible. Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. Donate online at goveganradio.com or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147.
Experiment on animals? What a waste of their lives and your money. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And we continue. Please support this program with a donation at goveganradio.com. We're talking to Michael Berenzweig today, who is, like myself, I consider myself somewhat of a student of vegetarianism. I never knew it would be such rich subject matter. Many years ago when I decided not to eat animals, I thought it was a quiet little personal decision that I'd make. I'd eat my food in the corner and never have to explain anything to anyone and wouldn't know of all the great people of the world who are involved with vegetarianism. And it's rich history, which is in our language also. And Michael, you've studied that. You're interested in word derivation, and
it's so paramount, Bob. By the way, we left out Gandhi when we were speaking about the greats, and most people don't know that Gandhi was considered literally listed as a Tolstoyan. He was a disciple of Tolstoy, which is quite remarkable.
Right. And Gandhi was vegan at some point in his life then?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I found out from historian Rin Berry. I know that he did, in the modern Indian tradition, have a goat that he kept, that he treated quite well. But he said, as his life went on, that he even regretted doing that and became vegan in later stages.
Well, with that list, I mean that's the kind of list one would emulate. All the great people who have been vegan, and then you can be like them, or you can be like Bush and Cheney, who both eat meat. So that's your choice.
Or Adolf Hitler. There was the myth that Hitler was vegetarian, but this was just to make him look like a good guy. In actuality, we were talking about this recently, Bob. A German magazine at the time quoted Hitler as encouraging the German youth to eat as much meat as possible in order to be cruel, imperious conquerors.
Well, there you have it. And we've talked about the effect of animal protein on human behavior and that lecture in the past. And
there's an excellent macrobiotic book. And the highest level of macrobiotic diet is a vegan diet. There's an excellent macrobiotic book called One Peaceful World, which chronicles the fact that over the last few thousand years in human civilization, the countries, the societies, the cultures that ate the most meat and animal products were the most bellicose, war-waging, imperialistic, cruel, imperious conquerors.
Does that sound like someone we know?
Right. Yeah, yes, it does. Yes, it does.
It's time for America to go vegan.
It's long overdue.
And when I get elected president, meat will be banned the following day. So I'm not expecting too many votes yet. Until they hear my platform. I mean, that's the health care plan. It's the environmental plan. It's everything. So
well, as we were saying, Bob, there's been a big hype on going green, going green. There's nothing more going green than being vegan.
Michael, get to our wordplay here because there are.
I was saying during the break that for thousands of years, indigenous people from Africa, Asia, Native Americans were mostly, for the most part, vegan. Had a great reverence for life. I mentioned the totem pole is an artifact that remains. Totem Ma in Cree, Ojibwe, Algonquin means relation or relative. So they and you see animals replicated in carvings on these totem poles. These indigenous Native Americans would see eating animals as cannibalism.
Right. So, so animals were on the totem pole, and the family members were represented on the totem pole. So
exactly.
So they considered animals family.
And each were considered relations and relationships, and that you know, ancestors, that they were descendants of all forms of animal life, including human life.
Oh, I was just going to ask. I was going to go toward the root word of vegetarianism.
Exactly. What, the root word of
vegetarian, or you know, what is it? Vegetaire. That's
actually, what I kind of wanted to cover, Bob, was you know what I mentioned before. How for centuries did you have all these wonderful people having such a great reverence for life and practicing veganism? How did we deteriorate into what we are now?
Yeah.
And I believe it, there was a kind of what you would call. People had to be brainwashed into eating meat.
Ronald McDonald.
There you go. Okay, you know, throw it at him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bombard him with all this hoopla.
It would take brainwashing because it is our natural tendency is to be repulsed by what meat actually is. If we see roadkill, we don't say, "Hey, get the ketchup," you know.
Sure. Right. But if one bothers to study etymology, study the dictionary, word derivation, and the history of language, interestingly enough, the word animal comes etymologically means spirit, mind, soul.
Hmm.
Very reverential terms. Yet how has it deteriorated into what it has become today? When a person calls another person an animal, it's a very degrading use of language.
Mm-hmm. It's speciesist to me.
Exactly. But this just shows you how words have become abused, misused.
We have 1 minute left.
Okay. What you could say are detestable goals. As Rin Berry pointed out, in biblical times you had many groups who practiced veganism. But the power mongers, the same power mongers who are around today, the ones who were imperialists, colonialists, who want to wage war, engage in violence, they were in control of the sacrificial temples. And that's where all the big money was.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, they promoted meat eating, while the spiritually inclined people, to maintain their spirituality, maintain the herbivore practices that man had developed with.
Okay. Well, we are out of time. I'll have to have you back on the show again and explore the fascinating world.
Wonderful, Bob.
Thank you, Michael Berenzweig. And
thank you, Bob Linden.
Thank you for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please stop eating animals, stop wearing animals, and go vegan.
GOVEGANRadio.com.